Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
From Autosport.com and Autosport Magazine, I'm Alex Kalanorkas, and this is the Autosport Podcast. Well, qualifying for the 2022 Formula One Miami Grand Prix, the very first one, is in the books. Charles Leclerc will start on pole position for Ferrari ahead of his teammate Carlos Sainz, with Max Verstappen, the reigning world champion, frustrated to finish third. I'm joined tonight to discuss what happened in qualifying by, I'm very pleased to say, making his return to the Formula One paddock this weekend, and his return indeed to the Autosport podcast, to GP Racing's Stuart Codling. How are you, Stuart?
I'm fine, and I'm very pleased to be back in the paddock and no longer intervening in Formula One on remote from my virtual Top of the Pops studio at home, or sometimes Brian Blessed's prison planet even.
Indeed, and how are you finding your return?
It's been surprisingly busy, hasn't it? This paddock is literally swimming with guests, and if like me you've lived under a rock for the past 2 years, just being surrounded by the noise and the colours and the people just being a little bit weird. The COVID protocols have been a little bit relaxed, and even some of the people who have been working in Formula One and coming to races for the past couple of years have found it a little bit weird. And it's been interesting to see Ferrari in particular all going around with their masks while the what one might call the hoi polloi are in the paddock. And then once it sort of clears out after the guests and VIPs have gone off to wherever, it's masks off and away we go.
I can say to the listeners a little bit of insight that you may get this elsewhere, but I don't know. What's quite interesting is that obviously this Miami race is essentially a hospitality race. That's what it's been billed as. That's what everybody's been commenting on social media. But actually, it's really interesting walking through the paddock, particularly I'd say more towards the lower end of the grid where the teams finished last year. It basically smells like a pub beer garden. It's just sort of stale alcohol and cigarettes, and that sounds awful, but actually I don't know, it's kind of atmospheric. It's just, this is people having a good time at a race. It's just interesting that, you know, I've never really smelled that strongly in a paddock before.
It is indeed, and when you look out the window of the media centre, you don't actually see the race circuit. You see the Heineken hospitality bar below you and all these people wandering around having a great time.
Indeed, and actually if you turn left and go to the other end of the paddock, it's just a sea of people, because people are just milling around outside Mercedes and Ferrari, Red Bull, just absolutely, yeah, waiting for the drivers. It is an absolute atmosphere, I would say. But anyway, we've wittered on about people far too much. Let's talk about some of their still people, Formula One drivers. Let's face it, that'd be weird to say that they're not. But anyway, the fight for pole position won by Charles Leclerc. It was interesting hearing him talk in the press conference. He described it as not a perfect lap. Seemed to think he'd sort of not quite thrown it away in the first sector, but aware he had a lot of work to do, particularly the opening turns of the lap. Said, you know, to more towards 6, 7, and 8, he was able to pull it back and then recovered further around sector one. And then at that point, Carlos Sainz was a massive 0.4 seconds up on Leclerc at that point, but he lost time all the way through the lap. And in fact, said he made a mistake at the final corner, trying to copy Leclerc's line and what he'd been doing there. Always went wrong for him, but he still ends up, you know, just behind in second place. The key thing for Ferrari was that Max Verstappen absolutely messed it up in terms of, you know, I have quite a lot of sympathy for him in that with all the trouble that has gone on for him during practice, he wasn't, you know, up to the rhythm, which he said is very key on a street circuit, just hasn't had enough practice laps to get that rhythm. And that meant that, you know, he said he was still learning the track, even in Q3, you know, certain braking zones, you know, the way to approach certain corners. So basically he chucked it into turn five, car said no, spat him off out the back, and he just after, you know, I think he was 6 tenths down on Sainz after sector one because of that mistake, so he just abandoned the lap, got out of everybody's way. But what did you make of Leclerc's performance? Let's start with him, Goddess.
I thought it was pretty impressive, and you know, as you say, maybe he didn't string together what he thought the perfect lap, but what we've seen really all the way down the grid is that it's very hard to string together a perfect lap here because just of the characteristics of the circuit, so many connected corners, bits where the asphalt's literally peeling off. And it's definitely put those drivers who've missed out on track time at a disadvantage. So I think Charles has basically made the best of the tools available. And even if it was a little bit of a scrappy lap by his standards, he still improved in Q3. As did everyone else, but he elevated his position, whereas all the ones below P4, well, behind P3 rather, pretty much remained as they were, even though they improved in their final runs.
Indeed, I should actually just say at this stage, because I meant to interrupt probably myself during my opening remarks, is to explain to the listeners.
Not like you to interrupt yourself, Alex.
Well, you will have my moments, but if you can hear any the sort of smattering of rain in the background, we are, and just to give you a little bit of insight, we are recording in a hire car.
We're sitting in the back of a car
on our way to dinner, just because that's how these things need to be done sometimes. And it has as we were leaving the paddock, the most spectacular lightning storm. Fortunately, it didn't rain too heavily, but it is still coming down, and we are getting some rather quizzical looks from the locals here in Hollywood, which is I can't remember if it's another city or just a suburb of Miami.
It is another city in the greater metropolis.
There seem to be many, many cities attached to each other. No idea if they all have cathedrals. But anyway, that's an aside.
I'm not sure that's the definition of a city anymore.
And not anymore.
A cathedral. No. No.
When did that change?
Recently, I think there is a city in the UK that has achieved city status or is going to be a city even though it doesn't have a cathedral.
Is it Croydon?
That place Lewis avoids? I'm not sure it is Croydon. It's another city.
Why does he avoid Croydon?
It's a long-standing joke.
Oh, I see.
One I don't understand. It's something to do with the Autosport Forum, which I have to confess, not somewhere I visit. Whereas I have actually been to Croydon. I used to live near there.
Yeah, interesting.
Crystal Palace.
Interesting architecture.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, we've gone from an aside to an aside to an aside.
It's my fault.
It always is your fault. Let's talk about Carlos Sainz, second place. He seemed pretty downbeat in the press conference, but I think that's just a case of the competitive desire in him. An excellent result considering the run of form he's been on.
Yeah.
What did you make of Sainz today?
I thought that was actually quite impressive. Mm. And obviously Carlos is a very competitive, very driven individual, and he's not worn his sort of slightly lumpy performance curve over the first few races well. It was interesting, well, you know, he hurt himself in that impact with the wall yesterday, and he talked about getting over the weight of the accident. And I think basically he meant, you know, the impact it had had on his confidence. So I'm actually surprised that he was so disappointed. I suppose it's probably because he was so far up on Charles at the beginning of the lap, and then, as you say, it leaked away from him, and then he just sort of took a different line into the final corner and it didn't work for him. And that's, you know, as I said earlier, a function of the lack of track time.
Indeed, it's interesting. He's talking about, you know, the problem that he's having with this car. He's not quite gelling it. He says he is getting more into sort of driving it the way it's supposed to be driven, as Leclerc is able to do. But it just seems with science, he just says, as he says repeatedly, just can't string it together. And that is very, very key to doing well in 2022. Let's come on to talk about Max Verstappen, who was... if Carlos Sainz was downbeat, we're going to have to find another way to describe what Max Verstappen was in the press conference. He was fuming. I mean, he sat there... He was almost exuding anger, just sort of from his every pore. He was not happy. You know, he said, you know, Red Bull, its operations haven't gone right this weekend. Obviously, there's been the reliability dramas, and he said, you know, we hurt ourselves. We could have done so much better without what happened in practice happening. I think pole position was on. You know, if they'd had a perfect run of practice, I think that package is a bit, it reminds me a lot of not quite the Turkish Grand Prix last year, where a little details on tyres cost Verstappen, but I still think that package has the edge, and if they don't have major problems, he makes the difference as well. So yeah, I think, you know, what's interesting is that Verstappen has this tendency to essentially to publicly blame his team. I don't think, you know, other drivers have their little moments. Even Lewis Hamilton, you know, sometimes can't hide, you know, during his great run of form, can't hide his frustration totally. But it was a bit too pointed, I thought, from Verstappen today, in terms of the way, you know, he said, you know, we failed, you know, we, you know, essentially blaming his team, I thought.
Yeah, I asked him to elucidate on the comments he made in the immediate aftermath of qualifying, when he was interviewed on the grid. He said, we need to make these weekends less difficult. So I thought, let's drill down into that. So I asked him to elucidate and say, do you mean difficult as in the reduced amount of track time in the new format gives you less time, or do you mean in terms of the operations of the team and the, you know, the build of the car, whatever went wrong with your car this weekend that reduced your track time? And if it is the latter, how do you move forward from that? And I think he realised that I wasn't exactly digging a trench for him, but he realised that he had kind of thrown his team under the bus. So he began by being a little bit evasive, and then he got stuck into the meat and potatoes of, well, actually, you know, the team could have done a better job, and we do need to make our track time count. So yeah, very, very disappointed Max Verstappen, and I think you're right, he would have been on for pole had he had more time. And, you know, you could argue that sort of minor slip he had turn 5 and 6 was also a function of that lack of track time, because he was trying hard, and these connected corners, there is a learning process to go through to get the maximum performance out of the car and tyres through them.
Indeed. Well, we're going to come on to talk about another topic, which is the race event itself. But just very quickly, there were starring performances from Valtteri Bottas in Q3. Fernando Alonso, very frustrated not to make Q3 because of, he sort of blamed Sainz for sort of impeding him right at the end of Q2. The stewards looked at it, decided it wasn't even worthy of a full investigation. Sebastian Vettel lost time at the chicane, also very annoyed not to make it through to Q3. And Williams, a bit gutted that Alex Albon didn't make it into Q2, having shown strong pace in FP1 and in FP3, where he was in the top 10. Basically, Williams said the tyres were too cold at the start of the lap and too hot at the end, so it all went wrong for Albon there. Well, Collins, I mean, yeah, I just kind of wanted to have a quick chat before. We will do a few, couple of race predictions before we end the podcast, but just about this event, because it's so interesting. I've been comparing it jestingly to a Formula E event all weekend, because I covered Formula E for a couple of years, and it is really interesting because you've got the same sort of, you know, got bridges that you've got to climb to get access to. It is a completely temporary event. It's going to be, everything's all going to be taken down. It is a car park Grand Prix. That is a statement of fact, despite what people on social media have been bizarrely trying to claim. But done tremendously well. It's almost in it, you know. I also think Formula E does tremendously good things, but it's done nothing on this level. You know, the scale of the event, everything is absolutely tremendous. But we've even had little, you know, bad Formula E things, like the track surface breaking up. The drivers, they are complaining about the track surface even where it hasn't broken up. They're saying, you know, they're complaining that the lack of grip offline is making it too difficult, despite very many of them high profile saying, you know, we want to see tracks that punish driver mistakes. Well, this one is doing that, and I think it's, yet the best cars and the best drivers are still at the front, They just need to get on with it. So, yeah, what are you making of the Miami venue and event so far?
It's certainly a fascinating thing. And as you say, there is no getting away from the fact that it is a car park and a little bit that runs under a road junction. They've done a great job in landscaping it and disguising that. I know a lot of people have mocked the fake marina, but I think it's in keeping with the artifice of this town. And it was a fun and creative way of, you know, we know it's a VIP hospitality event, and it's a great creative way of getting those people closer to the track and giving them a rewarding experience. And, you know, if it is in the nature of a track surface like this to be temporary, to be very green, they've worked very hard to try and make it abrasive, but obviously there are, I hate to use the word learnings, so let's use the word lessons. There are lessons to be learned for when they come to relay it for the next 10 occasions where it's going to happen. And so, yeah, I'm perfectly happy to come here, be interesting. As various people have said, yeah, if you're not on the dry line, as it were, it's a little bit like the start at Imola, isn't it? The people who are not starting on the racing line, it's going to be like starting on the wet. So, you know, some engineers have said to us, well, they're just going to have to get on with it and manage it over the next 50-odd laps.
Indeed, Carlos Sainz Jr. is saying that the drivers have asked the FIA to clean Turn 1 in particular ahead of the race because they're so concerned about the lack of grip offline. The FIA says, we do that after every session. There's not going to be no special attention paid because that is just in what they've got to do. You see it, you know, if you've ever been to Silverstone, you'd have seen those sort of quad bikes towing carpets, sort of what look like carpets behind them to clean up the surface, and then all the stuff they gather does get collected and taken away. But anyway, let's end, Codders, on a couple of race predictions. What do you think might happen tomorrow?
I think if the Ferraris can get away first, which they should do, certainly Charles likely to make the better start. Carlos maybe less so if he's on the wet line, as it were. So they really do have to guard against Max getting a better start than Carlos. If both the Ferraris can get away quickly, they can spoil Red Bull's race. If not, it'll be a bit tricky. And then we are likely to see a little bit of a procession, aren't we? Because it's going to be very, very difficult to overtake. So ammunition for the cynics, but yeah, lessons for the next few years.
Indeed. The trouble Carlos Sainz was saying was that you might not see very, very many sort of late braking, late on the brakes lunges, which, you know, look so spectacular, but also encourage overtaking just because of the lack of grip, yeah. especially offline.
And we saw that in the W Series race and the Porsche Super Cup. And I know we're not exactly comparing apples with apples there because they're very different cars. But anyone who ventured did not gain.
Indeed. And obviously the W Series race interrupted by a red flag, so there was a crash, and I think that's going to be my prediction. I reckon turn one, there could be quite the pile up.
I've got a prediction. I've got another prediction, and that is the prediction that the people who are on the, who've booked themselves seats on the, I think it's the 9:30 BA A380 on Sunday night, going to be suffering some very sort of squeaky bum moments whenever there's a red flag to...
Perhaps a good thing we're going back on the Monday via Madrid.
Yes. Tapas for breakfast.
Indeed, actually. I once spent a Valentine's Day at that airport with a former colleague. It was not romantic. Anyway, there we go. We should wrap up the podcast. I also said race predictions for the race tomorrow, when you, the listeners, will be listening to it on race day because of how time works. You're very far ahead of us here in Miami. Anyway,
a Stephen Hawking moment there explaining how time works.
Well, you know, sometimes even I still am fascinated by it and fail to understand how it works. But anyway, Codders, thank you very much. Let's go and have dinner. Thank you to the listeners. Enjoy the podcast. Enjoy the race tomorrow. Go to autosport.com to read everything you need to read about the Miami Grand Prix. And yeah, come back soon for another episode of the Autosport Podcast.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The fitting experts at Indochino empower you to become the designer and build your own custom wardrobe. They launched on the belief that the luxury experience of ordering custom clothing should be available to everyone. And now, Indochino has expanded their offering to include the female form. In select cities, Indochino has introduced a new tailored experience for women, so everybody can find their perfect fit in a made-to-measure suit, all for a surprisingly affordable price. Design the power suit of your dreams, from the fabric to the cut, with a large assortment of customizable options. Your suit is made precisely to your measurements, so you can make your statement by fitting in while standing out. Be one of the first to get a made-to-measure garment at an off-the-rack price from Indochino. Learn more by visiting page.indochino.com/womenswear to book your showroom appointment today. That's page.indochino.com/womenswear.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.